This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome. It's Monday, and that means it's time to check in with our Zoomer vote in our Zoomer primary. Last week, the numbers confirmed what we were seeing in other polls, that voters didn't seem concerned about the Ethics Commissioner's report, which found the Prime Minister in violation of conflict of interest law. It showed the Liberals regaining lost ground and taking the lead. That is still the case, though they are down about a percentage in terms of popular vote, with just over 39% to the Conservatives' 35%. Now, other polls show that the two main parties are much tighter in terms of the popular vote, but the Liberals have a lot more seats, at least for now. So we'd like to hear from you. Have you voted in Zoomer vote? Are you going to? And what do you think of these results? The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And now, here to put all of this and more in perspective, Peter Mugridge, senior editor of Zoomer Magazine, and David Kravitz, vice president of Zoomer Media, and of course, our demographics guru. Guys, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so let's go through this week's, the newest numbers and how you interpret them, starting with David.
Well, we see really a static situation, minor slippage, well within the margin of error, if there is any slippage for the Liberals, half a point, 1 point. And we see the same trend that their vote is much more efficient than the Conservatives. They get more seats out of the same number of votes. There is some interest in the McLean's 338 poll, which shows that more of their support, they have less support in safe seats. The Conservatives have more seats that are safe, and the Liberals have more that are likely or leaning or swing seats. So my position is, as it was before, we're post-Labor Day now. We have an election in Manitoba this week. We have the first of the debates kicking in. The real action is about to get underway, and now we're going to see swings if there are any to come.
Peter, a lot of people expected the writ to drop on Sunday. Hurricane in the Atlantic provinces got in the way of that. But we still, Jagmeet Singh was going to kick off his campaign there. He postponed that. He did start here in Toronto today. And the NDP, you know, especially in our Zoomer primary, looked like it was going to be obliterated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're up slightly to 3.5%. But they have problems getting candidates out. They have problems losing candidates to the Green Party in New Brunswick. I thought Singh's ad in Quebec, where he actually showed himself boxing, I thought that was a good ad. You know, he took on the turban issue head on. He
started with the long hair,
right,
and then he wrapped the turban up. Yeah.
And I thought that was a good ad. And you know, Quebec is such a minefield of you know, religious symbols and that sort of thing. And he's facing it head on. And, you know, he's not apologizing for it. So I thought Jagmeet did well in the last week.
Do you agree?
I think he's doing well to the extent that he can. Remember, in Quebec, he's trying to defend a blip, a pro-NDP blip that isn't the norm anyway. So he's probably got inflated results from the past that can't possibly be sustained. But I do think I share with Peter a concern. If I was the NDP, will the Greens stay green? Or will they in the end say it's so important to get the NDP more seats? And I think that the better the Liberals do, the worse it is for the NDP and the better it is for the Greens, because then the Green voter is going to say, well, you know, I don't have any reason to pump up the NDP total because Trudeau's doing okay anyway, and presumably for the Greens, Scheer is a bigger enemy than Trudeau.
David, in the last election and past elections, soft NDP support went Liberal. Do you think it will go Green this time, or is it going to find its home in the Liberal Party again?
Well, I wouldn't say it will go Green, except for the fact that I'm seeing strong results for the Greens in the poll. So if you're a progressive on that side—
How did the Greens do in the Zoomer vote?
They're beating the NDP more than double.
Yeah. Okay, because in the other polls—
10.4 to—I'm sorry, they're about 8% against 3%. They're almost triple.
Okay, well, in other polls, it's interesting. The NDP seemed to have come up a bit in the last week or so.
Yeah.
The Greens are no longer surpassing them in the other polls.
Right.
We've looked, you know, we keep looking at these aggregated polls for what it's worth,
right,
and they say some interesting things. And I remember, David, last week you said, okay, there's 15%. About 15% of people who always vote NDP and no reason to think that they won't again, unless they think the Liberals are really in deep trouble.
Well, I think this is true, but also from the perspective of the Greens, if I look at McLean's poll, 13.5% NDP, 10% Green, if I'm a Green voter, why do I want to see the NDP go? I don't need them to go higher because the result is going to be between the Liberals and Conservatives anyway. I might as well put my stake in there. There's no tactical reason to abandon the Greens. So I think it's going to be very hard for him to get more Green voters. There would be easier if there was a tilt or balance there to say, we desperately need every NDP seat to defeat the evil guys. If that doesn't apply, it's not really a compelling story. And I think the Greens will stay where they are.
Okay. Moving right along. So we have the first debate this week. It is put on by City TV and McLean's. And the Prime Minister is not going to participate. We have the other four will be participating. Maxime Bernier not invited. And of course, the journalists are made a big deal about this. But is it a big deal that the Prime Minister has only agreed to two, I believe, so far?
Yeah.
And there's another one.
He's sitting on the fence with the TVA debate. Yeah.
There is a Monk debate
that
he is also not going to participate in.
Yeah.
So is that just smart? You know, why should he? And does that mean, you know, what's the debate going to be worth if, you know, you look at the polls? To the extent the contest is between Andrew Scheer and Justin Trudeau, and if one of them isn't there to compare, so what's your take on that?
Well, I think there's two arguments in the Liberal back room, and we're not there. So argument number one is I'm very happy to see everything stay the way it is. I'm not going to win a majority. I'm going to have a strong minority. I'm happy to be in a tie with the Conservatives or a slight edge or whatever. And if I'm not there, they can't hurt me. So that's what status quo, mentally conceding the acceptability of a strong minority government. The opposite is, when they clearly got outvoted because he's not going to the debate. But the opposite is, no, I dare not give him a free evening because who knows what they can say? Who knows what they can mention? I'm going to look like I'm chickening out, and that doesn't seem very prime ministerial. But that would be my feeling, but clearly they know better.
Well, and it's also the question, I don't know, at this stage, how many people are going to be watching that debate?
Yeah.
But if the Prime Minister is not in it, I think that would make a lot of people thinking that, you know, they might be better off with 90-Day Fiancé or something.
Well, it's that. But remember, the debate's going to produce video clips that will be all over the social media. So you can be sure the Conservative and NDP war rooms will be extracting the best sound bites, and they will be widely circulated.
Well, of course, yes.
Yeah. But what are the effect of these debates? I mean, they're sort of, you know, the leaders get up there and say their clips, and they're very stage managed, and then everyone shouts over each other trying to make a point. And in the end, what do we get out of it? You know, so I think two debates
sometimes
is enough.
A knockout yeah. punch, usually not.
Usually not. But I think in American politics, we get a knockout punch because there are just two of them, you know. Whereas with our sort of four, parties, sometimes yeah. five yeah. Debating, it's such a, you know, it becomes so messy almost and awkward. And,
okay, yeah. people, we have a few minutes left, not too much in this. We want to hear from you. So what do you think? Has anything in the last week happened to make you change your mind? What are you planning on doing in the real vote and also in the Zoomer vote? 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Now, in this 338 McLean's, they have this really interesting thing where they're talking about safe seats, likely seats, leaning seats, toss-up seats, and an average of all the projections. So it looks like the Liberals have more seats that they may or may not win and more seats that they may or may not lose.
Right. The Conservatives are in their own In the ridings which they control, it's like bedrock, you know, like they can't be unseated in those ridings. But unfortunately for the Conservatives, there's only 59 of those, whereas the Liberals have a much higher percentage in the likely or leaning category, and that's probably what's going to decide the election.
But if I take leaning and toss up and do a little mental gymnastics,
yeah, what does it mean that? Leaning and toss up?
I don't know. If I merge leaning and toss up.
Yeah,
I leave out likely. Concede likely. If I merge leaning and toss up to mean it could flip,
mm-hmm.
the Liberals are defending 63 seats combined, leaning and toss up.
Right.
And the Conservatives have 36. So the Liberals are defending 30 more seats that could conceivably flip, almost double the Conservatives. So there's a lot more flux on the Liberal side. The Liberals don't have as much territory to poach from the Conservatives to grow.
Right.
The Conservatives can grow at the expense of the Liberals more than the other way around.
Yeah. And it would be interesting to know, I don't know if the McLean's breaks it down that much, but who's in second place in these leaning or toss-up ridings?
Yes.
You know, like are the Conservatives in second place or are the NDP in second place? You know, and that makes a big difference.
Okay, let's take a call from John in Peterborough. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Good. I was just driving along and listening to you. And what hit me mostly was what your guest said about the way the votes. We're going to have the same amount of votes and to get more seats. This shows you the idiocy of the way we elect people. First past the post is the most idiotic system when you have more than two people running.
You know
we
what?
We need to change this so we get the voice of the people, because it's the taxpayers, the people. We're the ones pay the bills. Our voice should be heard. You should not have a government like Bob Rae with 37% of a popular vote. We need to change this system where we get the will of the people, the majority of the people.
Okay, thanks for that, John. It's a really stupid system compared to the other ones is my take on it. I've lived in places with proportional representation, and there's a party list that's ranked.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are some hybrid systems, but you know, if you think that the central whatever, the centralized party and the prime minister's office have a lot of control here, well, wait till you see proportional representation.
I think it's true. I know where you're talking about. They've never had a majority government in their history.
That's right. Never have a majority
in Israel.
Right-wing parties holding the balance of power with a very tiny percentage of the vote, mm-hmm. all of that stuff, or very religious parties imposing things on people. So, you know, I know people here and I understand the frustration when you see so much popular vote that doesn't get you anything, but I haven't seen, and again, I'm not that familiar with the hybrid systems, but I haven't seen something better.
No, a hybrid might be interesting, but he's right that you know, Liberals could win a seat by 10 votes, the Conservatives could win a seat by 5,000 votes, and it's one seat to one seat. And
well, exactly.
The popular vote was way out of line.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And that happened in Quebec last election, too, where the Liberals won, what? They sort of owned Quebec with barely 35% of the vote, you know.
Yeah. And we'll multiply that, though, take that and multiply it by the geographic problem where the Liberals in the days of Justin Trudeau's father, they didn't win a seat west of Toronto Airport. From Toronto Airport to the Pacific Ocean was all Conservatives. And it wasn't enough to offset Quebec and Ontario.
Right.
Well, the election was over when the polls closed in Ontario.
And also take the fact that one riding elects the prime minister and way more people vote for the mayor of Toronto.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, true.
And who's senior and who's junior there?
Yeah.
Anyway, exactly. we are beginning to run out of time. What are we looking for this week until we meet again?
Well, in the immortal words of Harold Macmillan, once Prime Minister of England, when asked what drives everything, he said, events, dear boy, events. So I'm going to quote him and say, we've got the Manitoba election. We've got, what if the teachers go on strike in Ontario? They're playing that card against Doug Ford now to get him to soften up because he knows that a strike would hurt him. And thus, Andrew Scheer might be phoning Doug Ford saying, you better give the teachers what they want. There's lots of stuff in
play. Or it
play.
Could help them. Alternatively, it could help them.
Or
right?
it could help them. But there's a lot of things that are in play. I think we need to see these things. We will get a result of that McLean's debate. We will see whether it mattered that Trudeau showed up. We're going to have
Didn't show up.
We're going to have a lot more to work with. And I think that's where you're going to start to see these numbers move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, are the leaders going to hammer Trudeau when he's not there? Or it could be.
I would hope so.
It could be just like, they all gang up on him and just, you know, make mincemeat of him without him being there to defend himself. You know,
count on it.
Yeah.
You can count on it.
Right.
Okay. So much for the Zoomer vote this week. Oh, let me hold up a copy of the magazine. This is the magazine that is where you'll find all the information about the Zoomer vote and the Zoomer primary. And all you have to do is go to zoomervote.ca to make your voice heard. Meantime, thank you so much, David Kravitz and Peter Muggeridge.
Thank you, Libby.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.